to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
One of the Jesia Sundowns.
What could you? Liwe, don't put the hell like a teacher.
Liwe, could you pirates? Your life, my friend.
How we?
A sterling performance in the British capital. The Seagulls have their wings clipped by London Iron, and a late red wave crashes over Tyneside. This is Onside ZA, powered by Betway. Get way more. And joining me today, Len Moleko. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tseppi Worldwide. Thank you for joining us here again today. And Super Sub, welcome to Onside ZA.
Thank you.
Above all, welcome to Onside ZA to all the ballers out there. Of course, my opener, talking about this weekend's action in the Premier League. Len, thoughts, especially when it comes to the big game, Newcastle versus Liverpool. Liverpool, a man down, a goal down, all 3 points.
Yeah, man. look, Liverpool have a way of turning results around. They've got a quality squad, if we're being fair. Despite them losing out on a number of key signings in the transfer window, which is obviously still opened. It closes on
the final week. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it is transfer deadline day.
Today.
Can't.
Well, as we record this.
Yes, today.
Yeah.
So 2 days ago.
No, today.
Yeah, but 2 days ago on Friday.
If you're watching this live right now on YouTube, it is today. Transfer deadline day. 11 p.m. tonight.
Get on the bus, Tippy.
Okay, hello.
Tippy.
Get on the
bus. Running the magic of television and podcasting.
Okay, so.
She got on the wrong bus. She was meant to get into a how bus, she got into a padko. It's fine, we understand.
Okay, so
anyway, it's transfer deadline day.
Yeah, I really don't see any big transfers happening, to be fair. But as I was saying, with regards to Liverpool, quality players that they have, they're able to turn results around. And given their showing last season, they obviously want to raise their hands and be amongst the top teams. I mean, we saw at the start of the season, it's still relatively early to think of a Brighton or a West Ham to be like that team to beat type of thing. Very early, couple of games played. But as Liverpool, you don't want to lose games earlier on and allow a Man City or an Arsenal or a Manchester United, for that matter, to open up that gap of points. Because once that gap is opened, it's going to be very difficult for you to catch on.
True.
Well, they've had two tough games already in the build-up to the season. I mean, there's three games in. They've played Liverpool. Liverpool have played Chelsea.
Yeah.
And they've played Newcastle.
Well, look.
And Newcastle, in their opening three fixtures, have been Manchester City and Liverpool.
And they lost both of them.
And they lost both of those games. But that's not going to be a marker for what their season's going to look like.
Yeah.
Consolidating, you want to lose to a Manchester United / City / Liverpool.
In the beginning.
Maybe draw with an Arsenal and a Chelsea. Try get over one over a Tottenham type of thing. And that almost kind of like could get you there and there about to slip into top four. So, yes, Newcastle may have lost against Liverpool, but I don't think the Magpie fans should be out in the streets thinking, oh, it's disastrous.
I'm concerned,
still 80 days. And they can almost kind of still consolidate getting into a top four position.
Do you guys think that the whole Gomez situation, potentially leaving, and also even Salah, is something that we need to be discussing? Is something plausible? Or is it just, once again, one of those rumors that are just going to be swept under the carpet?
No, nothing.
Because, I mean, I saw Klopp who was like, ain't none happening. It's not happening. Salah's not going there. Number one, they do need him desperately.
Yeah, it's too late in the window to replace
that.
Salah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, Salah.
Yeah.
So, if Salah leaves, they can say goodbye to their top four.
Basically.
Ambitions.
Nunes showed he's got quality.
Look,
you know?
To be fair with you, look, I was, as a football-loving person, I was happy with Nunes' performance. Because mm-hmm. yeah. I think Nunes have got all the attributes of a player. He's passionate. He's got the hunger. But he was not as clinical last season. And for him to go and score those two goals and a winner, I think it's going to go a long way in terms of boosting his confidence, which I think was a little bit down because obviously when he started, he was compared to a Haaland, which it was chalk and cheese, obviously.
Precisely.
You know, but for me, I think this performance, I think it's going to elevate him. I don't know what you guys think, but I think it's going to take him to the top.
I think we've spoken about this numerous times on the show before, especially with attacking players, confidence is everything.
Yeah.
So when a striker gets their confidence, then you see the goals start to flow, especially quality players that have not been scoring goals or have not been performing.
True.
We also see players taking a season to adapt to the Premier League, which happens very regularly. But there's a reason Darwin Nunes is such an expensive striker. He scored lots of goals at Benfica.
Yeah.
Benfica's a quality side. You don't just make the starting 11 in that side. He's a good player. He's going to score goals. He's going to get going. It's about who does he replace in the current Liverpool system. So I've brought up a graphic now of the starting 11. Salah, Gakpo and Diaz are the starting front three for Liverpool. And this is how they lined up initially against Newcastle. And I think this is one of the things that you have to commend. You know, we were talking about Darwin Nunes' performance against Newcastle and how he helped Liverpool, who went down to 10 men, to come back. And he scored two goals, took the chance as well. Last season, he would have missed both. So he took the chance as well. But more importantly than that, the reason why Liverpool were still in that game was a tactical switch from Jurgen Klopp. So if we look over here now on the graphic, you'll see this is the starting lineup. That will be how the game sort of went. Mm. So initially, you've got the starting lineup of the 11 versus 11. This is how they would have lined up against one another. You can see these very clear banks, three in midfield versus three in midfield, the fullbacks marking a winger each, and then two center backs with each striker. The most balanced
starting lineups
that you're going to have in terms of canceling each other out. True. Then the red card to Van Dijk, as you see, he leaves the pitch. That changes everything. And then we move on even further and we see how Liverpool initially adjusted for the red card into a 4-4-1 where you had these banks of four players so that you can have defensive. But then what you see is a dominant Newcastle midfield where they've got the extra player in the central midfield area. And then a masterstroke from Klopp, which you would have thought that would be the traditional formation. Now you see how Klopp actually changed it to a very narrow 4-3-2 formation instead of a 4-4-1. And it feels like it should be less defensive than what a 4-4-1 sounds more defensive than a 4-3-2. But what happened is because they defended narrow, they allowed a lot of space on the flanks for Newcastle's fullbacks. But if you look at a player like Dan Burn, for all his qualities, big lad, he looks like a centre-back playing at left-back. And he's not one of those left-backs that's going to bombard down the left flank and get balls into the box. So Liverpool sort of sacrificed their flanks in order to defend narrow, which allowed them to dominate the midfield. Because you see now this midfield three once again. And it actually becomes a midfield four at times when they're attacking in this diamond formation. So if you look
at... So it's like McAllister, Endo.
So actually at this stage of the game, if you look at this graphic over here, you'll see there's a midfield four of Jota, Szoboszlai, Elliot and Salah after the substitutions with Nunes up front.
Oh, okay.
And if you look at this now, Joelinton, Guimarães and Tonali were falling back in the transition of play for Nunes' equaliser. And Salah plays the ball in down this wing here for Nunes to run onto past Shaw.
And Shaw made an error.
But because Liverpool dominated that midfield, it allowed for that error to happen.
Yeah.
It allowed for Liverpool to have the opportunity to turn this game around. And they turned their disadvantage into an advantage. And once again, I want to point out over here quickly that you've got this diamond in midfield. And look how much space they cover there. That so much so that no matter where you try and assemble these three midfielders for Newcastle, they cannot cover all of the passing configurations that were possible in this,
yep.
which allowed them a lot of space. So Liverpool actually dominated the midfield after going a man down. So absolute tactical masterstroke from Jurgen Klopp, you have to say.
So was it a case of Eddie Howe being a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for?
Naive.
Naive in a sense that you've got three players in attack.
Mm-hmm.
Are you not then able to also go switch up your formation, seeing that your midfield is like overpowered and you go to the extent of essentially sacrificing one of the attackers and getting a midfielder in who's able to neutralize slash even out the numbers in midfield?
That's how it was initially. But remember, that's the difference between, you know, and that's why we have top coaches or top teams versus other teams, because if he was able to do that with one man down, that means that his mind and just his tactical ability is a bit more superior in this case, or was superior in this case.
So I agree and disagree in a way. I think that in hindsight, which is, you know, hindsight is 20/20. Eddie Howe could have made an adjustment and been more defensive and gotten to grips with that midfield issue. Mm-hmm. But I think he's thinking in the moment is we're 1-0 up, we're a man up, let's go get the second goal and use those flanks that have been left open. And if you watch the game, there were a fair number of chances still for Newcastle to finish the game off before the Nunes equaliser. Yep. So we would have been telling a whole different story now at this point, and we would have been criticizing Jurgen Klopp's decision to dominate the midfield by leaving his flanks open, had Newcastle scored and run away with the game.
But then if you get a situation whereby you allow your midfield to be overpowered, as it were, it means that in attack, Liverpool had options because their midfield was very active.
Yes.
And in defense, they were very solid because the midfield is able to also drop back to assist the four defenders that were there. So if you see that happening as Eddie Howe, at some point you should be asking yourself, like, hang on, like the 3-4 is not really working to my advantage. Mm. Yes, I am hoying in the crosses, but
they're not
really
materializing.
Yes, not really wielding results. So something's gotta give.
Mm.
I need to neutralize that Liverpool midfield because it's because of them that we've gone 1-1 up. And I think at 1-1, that's at the point that
that's,
Eddie Howe
that's where the changes
adjusted.
Should have been made.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you.
Yeah, definitely. I think that at 1-1, the change definitely should have been made. I don't think I would have made that change initially. I would have felt confident that we could go on and expose Liverpool on the flanks, put balls into the box. Players like Callum Wilson should be finishing off chances that you're putting in there, you know? So I just thought that it was very interesting tactically, the game, and it was won there.
And also, Nunes just knows how to position himself. He knows how to find those pockets, and he knows how to track back, and then even when they're going forward, he knows how to position himself. And I don't think they saw it coming. You know, I think Nunes was a surprise package for Newcastle.
They thought he was going to miss.
He's been doing, you know, because he has been finding those chances, but he was not clinical.
Mm.
And on the day, he did find those chances. And the difference with Nunes of last season and Nunes of this season is that he was clinical in that match.
But one swallow does not make a summer, though.
Well, you can say that.
But it's a start.
It's a start.
And a good start at that.
One swallow. It's like, okay, cool. It just flew over. Sharp. It's fine.
A good start at
that. It's not summer yet.
Yeah.
You know? So, yes, good against Newcastle. But are we now saying that, I mean, going to what Tepi was asking earlier on, if the Saudis come in and they suddenly agree, like, yo, Salah, you coming through? And Salah agrees, like, I'm out of here.
Can we depend on him?
Will he be that key figure that will actually carry Liverpool in terms of attack.
But that's obviously premature.
No.
Salah will be the key figure that carries them in attack.
No, I mean...
But
like,
even so, hypothetically, if that were to be the case, it is so premature.
If he goes I don't think to Saudi... So.
Look, usually when players get to the Premier League, it takes them a season or two to just get the...
Adapt.
To adapt, you know. It's his second season. Mm. So, look, I think he still needs to find his feet, you know. I don't think he's going to carry that Liverpool team. I don't think so. But I think he's definitely going to have a better season than he had last season.
I think it depends players from which league. There's a couple of names that I can throw out here of players who came from certain leagues. They went to the Premier League and they took to it like a fish to water.
Not for sure.
Yeah, but sure. I mean, everything.
We're just saying generally, you know.
Yeah, but there are certain players that you would expect to go into a certain team and you don't see them really show their full abilities or their full potential until much longer. And this is exactly what the case is with Nunes. And also, sometimes in order for one maybe person, and I'm referring to your example, for them to really, perform optimally is when they are thrown in the deep end. So say the case were to happen that we wake up tomorrow morning and, you know, Salah then moves to Saudi, only then we'll either see him really swim or is he going to really drown? But we can't really then say that until, you know, that happens.
Moving on in the Premier League.
Yes, shock result.
Burnley losing to Aston Villa. Couple talking points there. Number one, Emre Ball in full swing. Aston Villa playing great football. And for me, Ollie Watkins.
My only talking point, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but my only talking point is about
Love.
That's it.
The goal.
It's Burnley's first goal back in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He took the goal very well.
It was a very well taken. The way he used his body to actually maneuver the defender and the way he turned and pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
That's a marking of a very good striker.
Four things that I pick out from that goal. Number one is the strength that he shows to hold off the defender. Yeah. So that's number one. Number two is the composure to make that decision. Because the chance initially seemed like the opportunities to try and flash a strike on the right foot immediately as it drops.
Yeah.
He then feigns that he's going to do that, holds up the defender, turns. So he showed great composure by making that decision. Then good striking instincts for when to strike the ball, and then good technique on the left foot to strike it the way he did. Four things, top striker qualities that he showed in the goal. And it's Burnley's first and only goal back in the Premier League. Okay, they've played one game fewer than most of the league.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But yeah.
They were meant to play Luton, and I think the Luton Stadium was still
not
being,
ready.
Yeah, it's
they should have played that at Burnley.
So almost like reverse the fixtures.
Yeah, just reverse those fixtures. Yeah. That would have made the most sense, but they didn't want to do that. That was what they applied for a fixture reversal, but the league decided to postpone the game instead. Don't ask me why they make these decisions.
And I suppose because, the Carabao is in full swing.
That sounds about like PSL decision.
Yeah, it does sound like PSL decision.
I'm going to master
I don't think they wanted Burnley to have three home games in a row.
I think that might have been the issue.
Because it does hinder them later on.
Especially teams that are fighting with relegation, etc. But is it really fair to say, let's not give Burnley three home games in a row? That's not fair when two of their three home games are against Aston Villa and Manchester City.
But
not fair.
I hear
might
you.
As well have given it.
But like you see, home support tends to invigorate certain
it really
teams,
does.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be shocked that a Man United or a Arsenal or a Chelsea or a Liverpool will go away to Burnley or Luton and actually get spanked.
That's a reality. And also, I mean, we see it not only internationally, but it happens locally. I mean, once a team starts, plays at home, they do have an unfair advantage. Not because the supporters are there to, support them and also just cheer them on. But there's also that element of pride and not wanting to be beaten at home. It's like a guy coming to your own house, your own yard, and slapping you there and you're not doing anything about it. So it's also, a pride and also an ego, aspect to it. So of course, it might be a disadvantage if you want to have three home matches in a row.
Except if you're a Cape Town Spurs.
But we'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there.
For me, what stood out in that game, Marco, Aston Villa versus Burnley,
yes,
is the tactical formation that Emery applied, you know, playing three at the backs and allowing your full backs to go forward. And
what happened?
Cash was just having a day, you know. And I
your full back, your wing back, let's call him rather.
Your wing back, because obviously they're there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. When you've got three at the back, the wing backs become wing backs, essentially. So, yeah, and Matty Cash scores two goals from wing back.
Yeah. And that was just like a masterpiece, you know, in terms of tactics, you know.
The interesting thing with Unai Emery and the tactics that he applies, I think depending on the personnel that he has, you know, that whole thing of like playing from the back, it's an approach that he had at Arsenal, which never worked. Like, it never worked.
Anyone that went to Arsenal at that point,
his tactics wasn't going to work.
It was not the right time, like we mentioned. Mm-hmm. The tactics were not going to work.
Rotted off.
Yeah. But now you see him at an Aston Villa with a team that have got, and if I'm not mistaken, Coutinho did not even start the game.
No, he's third, fourth choice currently. I think he might be one of those to see move on before this window closes.
Go make money in Saudi.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just generally the makeup of the team is a team that, you see, they're buying into Emery's philosophy. And they were not a flash in the pan last season.
No.
A lot of people would have thought of them as a flash in the pan, but they're not.
Well, if you consider how poorly they started the season under Patrick Vieira, for them to finish where they finished as the season went on when Emery came in was impressive.
Take over
it was not Vieira. Gerrard. Vieira was at Palace.
Stephen Gerrard.
Yeah.
Was it Gerrard?
Yes. Stephen Gerrard.
Wasn't John Terry there as well as an assistant somebody?
Yes.
But he was never a head coach.
But that was before. That was before
Stevie G came through.
That was before Stephen Gerrard came from Rangers. You're right. Sorry. I'm confusing it. Obviously.
With Palace.
Patrick Vieira was at Palace, and then Roy Hodgson turned their fate around there.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, Villa, I'm impressed with how they're doing. In the pot later today. They obviously going to be drawn.
Yeah, see what you did there.
Because it's obviously the Champions League draw that's going to be happening. Yeah. Yes. So the European
Conference League.
Not even Champions League only. It's Conference
Europa.
It's Europa
European
and
competition.
League, yes. Yeah. So they'll obviously land their fate who they're going to go up against. And look, if there's a man who knows how to maneuver around Europe, it's Unai Emery. He showed with Sevilla that.
I know
this competition, you know, and like literally.
And how to go about it.
I know how to win it.
Are you tipping them to go all the way?
Yeah. In the conference.
Well, we can
semi-final at the worst.
Okay.
We can see English sides dominating that category of European competition, I think, for years to come because of how competitive the league is. I mean, finishing sixth in the Premier League takes a lot. Or finishing even seventh, depending on if they open up more positions in Champions League in future, whatever, however it goes. You look at a team like West Ham and you look at who else they played against in the Conference League last season, besides maybe Fiorentina was a real threat in the competition, but you look at West Ham, you're like, oh, you're stronger than a lot of your opponents in the Conference League. So
look,
I would definitely back Villa as favourites for the Conference League this season.
So is it a phase that a lot of the English teams go through that, I mean, it looks like it's batons are being passed around. The English teams don't generally have like a long spell of being dominant in European competitions. It's either the Spanish teams or Bayern, but then Bayern also...
Bayern also
it does not have a long span of being dominant.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the Real Madrid era of winning back-to-back Champions League or Champions Leagues for however many long, Sevilla winning the Europa.
Yeah.
But with the English teams, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah, you'll have Man City, and then there's going to be like 4 or 5 years before another English team wins the Champions League.
I think it's a combination of factors. Number one, English football is extremely strong. So the clubs throughout the Premier League are very strong. And I think that's why we mentioned Conference League specifically, is that it's the team that finishes sixth, like everywhere, is that's playing against each other. And because the English league is so strong, the team who finishes sixth in the Premier League is a very strong side, can compete against sides from anywhere in the world, right? Whereas they're playing against sides from lesser leagues elsewhere. So I think that the Spanish dominates almost all the tiers of European football because they're good sides. La Liga is a strong league, but their league is less physically grueling, tactically grueling. You have that sort of December period where they go on a winter break and the English teams keep playing through that winter period, which is tough when they go back into European competitions without a break. So I think there's a few reasons why English sides don't dominate in the same way Spanish sides do. I think they have strong sides, but I think there's other factors that make it more difficult for you to dominate over a prolonged period. I mean, Real Madrid and Barcelona have dominated Champions League football for many, many years.
Yeah.
And it's like, is every weekend as difficult for them as it is for Manchester City,
Chelsea,
Manchester
United, whatever? So we're saying that the reason why a Spanish, for example, would then be dominant is because their competition is not as grueling as opposed to EPL?
I would say it's a factor.
That's what you're saying.
I would say it's certainly a factor, is that their competition's not easy. I'm not saying La Liga is a weak league, but it's certainly weaker than the Premier League.
I beg to differ to a degree.
It's all its own. What do you say? What do you differ?
Because are you telling me that
Espanyol's not a walkover for Real Madrid?
Everton would go and beat Osasuna. Kind of thing. If we compare apples and apples.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say beat, but in terms of how difficult the game is, the intensity of the game. So when you go and you play Everton, I'm not saying Everton are going to go beat you, but you're going to work really hard for a 0-0 draw sometimes at a Burnley.
So I think for me, right, with a lot of the English teams, there's the two Manchester clubs, Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs to a degree, Chelsea, Liverpool. There's about 10 teams that relatively on any given day, they can beat those second place, third place teams in other leagues, like in Germany.
So they can beat Serie A second division.
I think Dortmund would most likely only lose against four teams in the Premier League.
Yeah,
but Dortmund is a top side. It's like a
Dortmund's
top.
A top side.
It's a top side.
It's like saying second in Spain Barcelona or Real Madrid.
Sevilla, Real Sociedad can actually punch above a lot of teams in the Premier League.
Well, they eliminated Manchester United in the Europa League.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, when you look at it, of course, they might be able to probably punch like the bottom eight.
No, I'd say the bottom. Premier League. I'd say the bottom 12, if not 13.
Okay.
Okay,
that's a bold. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I mean, it's very difficult to say, you know, but
because I mean, clubs like Espanyol, very good side,
Real Betis,
Sevilla, Betis can pull a number.
Isco has been phenomenal at Real Betis last few years.
Yeah, so I think there's quite a number of teams in La Liga, For the purpose of this conversation, we're talking about La Liga versus the Premier League.
Yeah.
A lot of the times there's been the comparison of which is the better league between the two. If we look from a trophy perspective over the past 10 years, well.
Yeah, well, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, right? So are we saying that the top teams of the La Liga are better than the top teams in...
Yes, because there's two of them and they're better than everyone. It's Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Atleti can spank you at any given time.
But what I'm saying, Atletico Madrid's a good side, but they're not Real Madrid or Barcelona because no one is Real Madrid and Barcelona. Those are the two best sides.
Look, Barcelona and Atleti of late have almost kind of like, yes, Barcelona might have won the league last season, But they've almost kind of like became
sluggish
because they don't have the financial
The money situation is not really working in their position. Atleti, we know that they depend on what? Picking scraps in a way.
I think Atletico Madrid are very strong defensively and they play a different type of game to the other teams in Spain. And that helps them in a lot of ways. They're almost like an English team playing in Spain.
So in a nutshell, what...
So in conclusion, because yes. I really want to get... Because I know where you're going with this. Please.
Me?
Yes.
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, let's hear you.
No. I wanted to ask. La Liga versus Premier League.
Premier League is a stronger league.
Okay. Super sub. La Liga versus Premier League.
Look, it's a difficult one, like I said, you know, in terms of what?
Okay, let me give you my reason why I think the Premier League is a stronger league than La Liga. If you take Real Madrid and you put them in Manchester City's play, Manchester City and Real Madrid swap leagues for a season.
Mm.
I'm not saying Real Madrid won't win the Premier League. Real Madrid will probably still win the Premier League, but they will finish on fewer points with fewer goals and with losses at the end of a Premier League season.
I beg to differ. No way.
You think Real Madrid will have more points at the end of a Premier League season? If you just swap Manchester City and Real Madrid.
Yes, I think they will.
You'll have more points at the end of a Premier League season than the number of points they have at the end of a La Liga season. They had 100 points.
Well,
they will do it a couple seasons ago.
May I just jump in there very quickly? As it stands, so most teams have played on average 3 matches, yes. Right? Mm. And the leading team in La Liga right now, obviously, is Madrid.
Yes.
And they're sitting on 9 points. And the leading team in Manchester is also 9 points. What does that say?
Same. Currently.
3 games.
I'm saying the end of the season.
What's the goal difference there?
The goal difference, 6-1. That is going to for City. And if you go to La Liga...
They've scored more, Madrid. What is happening?
Let's see. Probably. One moment. So it was 6-1 for City, and it is 6-1 for Madrid.
Okay. Carbon copy. It's still very early.
It is still early days, but I mean, this is giving us a bit of an indication of just how things are as it stands.
Both leagues are very strong.
I'm going to close this argument off because we've already left England, and I wanted to jet off with Tippy, but. I'm going to close this argument now. We just saw Real Madrid and Manchester City stats. It's same, La Liga and Premier League.
Yes.
But Manchester City's a better side than Real Madrid. And we saw that in the Champions League last season.
Look, one swallow does not...
I said I'm closing it off. Case closed.
Okay. It's fine. We'll see. The draw is happening later. It's currently probably happening now. We'll see. But then again, like, there's not much to read in the group stages of the Champions League, if we're being fair.
Because of pots.
I mean,
Man City and Real Madrid can't play against each other.
But
in the
Tippy will give us the update on who's in which.
In which group?
In which drift.
Next week.
Next week the draw will be done.
Yes. But then we'll know.
What time is the draw? You can actually get it done tonight.
It should be happening at 1:00 is Champions League and 2:00 is
other leagues. Maybe we'll do a live on Instagram or something.
We'll
keep you up to date on socials.
Definitely.
But for now, we're going around the world with Tippy Worldwide, powered by Betway. Get way more. Tippy, what's happening?
So what's happening internationally? Something actually quite pleasant. Our new favorite goalkeeper, Onana. So he had a bit of a tiff with his coach during the World Cup. And he was even told to go away. I believe his name is Rigobert. Is it Rigobert Song? Yes. The coach of Cameroon.
Yes.
That's Rigobert Song. Yeah.
Yes. And now he has mended ways. You know, they've kissed and made up. Get it? Because last week. Okay, so they've kissed and made up. But my question is.
Rubiales.
There we go with Rubiales. There we go. He Rubiales the situation. But my question is this. So if he then decides, mind you, Cameroon right now has only one match to play. They have only one point remaining for them to be able to play African Cup of Nations that's happening next year in January, right? and Cameroon looks like they are going to be part of.
And they fighting for that position to actually be in the AFCON against Burkina Faso, if I'm not mistaken.
Waibon. So they have 1 point remaining. I stand
to be corrected on that. I'll check.
Check for me while I'm still speaking.
Yeah.
Waibon. So my question is this. So, I mean, he has just started, you know, a new job. You know, he is doing quite well. Everyone is happy with him. And if he were to then start, you know, being a player that plays for Cameroon, and that would mean that his services might not be, he might not be available then to play for his respective EPL team right now. So if you were Onana, would you want to go back home and then fill out your obligations and that potentially meaning that you might miss out on your EPL games?
You'll miss out on a few games, that's for sure.
Depending how
what
far they go.
What would you do?
Yeah, look, for me, I'm very patriotic.
Like, I know you. Yep.
I am for your country. Like,
yep.
Go represent your country and the rest will follow. You mm-hmm. know, I think, I mean, he's only 27 and you can't say you've retired internationally. Obviously, it was forced, you know. But I think it's a good thing that he's going back to represent Cameroon because yeah. I think he's a world-class keeper and Cameroon actually needs him. I think he must go back.
But hey, you know, there's an
I've
issue
got the
with...
groups up on the screen here now.
Mm-hmm.
Cameroon are in Group C of the African Cup of
yes,
Nations
they
qualifying group. They're currently behind Namibia by a solitary point, but they've
yep.
played a one game fewer.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of their group is made up by Burundi and Kenya.
Yes.
So Cameroon, you expect to finish on top of that group.
That's what I'm saying.
Ahead of Namibia, Burundi.
So the match is on the 24th, I believe. And I mean, the way things stand right now, chances are they are then going to go through and then...
It's Burundi.
It's Burundi
that they're going up against. Mm. And whoever wins that match
yeah.
is actually going to qualify for AFCON.
It's a big match. And obviously, it's going to be a FIFA window. So there's no issues.
No, that's for now.
Yeah, I'm saying now this match.
Yes.
Yeah, for now, there's no issues with club versus national team. But
January is a different story.
It's a yep. different story. And we don't know what sort of discussions they had with Manchester United when they signed him. Because
yes.
obviously, they signed him under the impression that...
He might have a little bit
and
of an injury when time comes up.
We've seen that
yes,
happening.
Yes. And considering also that, I mean, it never was in the books because he had not really had a good relationship with the Cameroonian management at the time. So, I mean, they probably could have just come to him after him, you know, acquiring this new job as goalkeeper. So, you know, how does it work? And also... At that point, does it depend on him as a player or his contractual obligations?
So from my understanding is that he signed for United. He had still retired from international football.
Mm.
Or he had quit playing international football.
Yep.
And then Song obviously changed his tune. And then suddenly Onana is back in the national team. And he's a very integral part, or he will be a very integral part of the Cameroon side.
Yeah.
So by the time, it's a personal choice that you make as
yeah.
a player that I'm going to represent my national team
okay.
or not. But we know, and history has taught us, a lot of the English teams are very sneaky in going to players and saying, yo, look, we'll pay you not to go play for your national
yeah.
team. It happened with Joel Matip as well.
Okay.
For Cameroon
okay.
as well. I think the previous AFCON.
But he wanted to come back and then...
Liverpool said no.
No. Matip actually wanted to
return to the national team.
To the national team. And what's this guy? The FA boss who played for Barca? Samuel Eto'o.
Samuel Eto'o.
Eto'o.
Said to him, no ways.
Ah, speaking of Eto'o, but yes.
Oof. Yeah, so essentially, like we know, like a lot of the English teams have this tendency of saying, like, yeah, if you go this and this and this, and you end up not being played,
So you kind of given a
United,
bit of a threat,
huh?
Yeah.
That could be a major blow for United.
Because if we look at AFCON, I know Tepi still has a couple of
trips
to make.
Let's go.
Liverpool will be disadvantaged because no Salah.
Mm-hmm.
Man United will be disadvantaged because no Onana. City is fine. They don't really have a lot of... I don't even think they've got an African player. The last one was Mahrez, who's now gone.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal should be fine. The only person they're likely to lose is Nicola Pepe, but he's not really... Oh, and Thomas Partey as well.
Is he going to even still be at Arsenal by the end of today?
Who, Nicola Pepe? Word has it that
he's not leaving.
They actually grooming and working on him to actually fight for a position with
Saka. With Saka. Good luck.
Yeah. So I think those are like Liverpool, Chelsea. How many African players do they have?
Oh, there's quite a few there at Chelsea.
Really?
They all play for France. Don't worry.
Oh yeah,
there's lots of African players, but they all play for France. Don't worry.
City's
fine.
So like, yeah. I think the only big losers will likely be a United and a Liverpool, given that Onana goes.
They're key players. Onana's a key player for the system that Ten Hag wants to play in terms of distribution from the back, and Mo Salah would be a key player for any team in the world. Wow. So yeah.
Anyway,
Sippy, where are we jetting off to now?
Let's jet off. So we're going to keep it here in Africa because something is brewing. And this might also somehow maybe translate to what happens here in South Africa. Hopefully I'm crossing thumbs. So the entire board of Zamalek, one of the biggest teams in Africa. And I'm talking about the board.
Mm-hmm.
Have all resigned.
That's good.
So if an entire board resigns, number one, what happens? And also, how would you think, or which board rather, would you think should all resign here in South Africa?
Kaizer Chiefs board.
Don't.
Kaizer Chiefs board.
Have you not watched football the last week? That's 6 points.
So which board?
SAFA to start with.
Oh, definitely. Yo, like.
Resign.
What do you call the thing that breaks buildings?
A wrecking ball.
Yeah, wrecking ball. Yes. Those things. Take that thing to Nazareth there. Like, yeah, it's SAFA, I agree with you. Totally.
Demolition machine.
Yeah. Totally, I agree with
but
you.
But also SAFA. Chiefs, maybe.
Not really. Like,
no, man. I don't believe. I think there's still a lot of potential. With
guys, do you not remember last week? You guys have a short memory.
No. You see,
we're talking about the solitary swallow again. Things are fine. It shifts now. No, there were
two swallows.
No,
two games.
No, but I thought only girls swallow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Hey. Am I on the right show here?
Continue.
Say boring. No, like it's yes. I blasted them last week. Super Sam, do you want a red card?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, as I was saying, I know I said here. I blasted Kaizer Chiefs. At the time, they deserved to be blasted because they were not showing any form of
my
progress.
Friend, and they listened to you, eh?
But things have changed.
Me and Molefi are cool like that. Two wins. We were talking about a striker when we were speaking about Nunes earlier on, right?
Mm.
We said Nunes scoring brings in confidence. Mm. He's a different player and. Two wins on a trot for Chiefs. Then belief starts coming. We're not saying they're going to win the league. Mm. That do not have any delusions about. There's no way Kaizer Chiefs is going to win the league.
Yeah.
But progress shown is...
Oh, by the way, Kaizer Chiefs right now is leading. It's a 3-0 win for them.
They won 2-0.
Yeah.
They won 2-0 on Wednesday night, by the way.
Was it 2-0 or 1-0?
2-0.
No, it's a...
They won 2-0 on Wednesday night.
Yeah, they won 2-0 on Wednesday night. When they were playing Stellies. Yes. And Stellies got a red card.
Oh, yes.
What I'm saying is, it's...
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Because it's ruined, we're recording on a Wednesday night for you to watch this today on Friday.
On the bus.
I'm sorry,
But the game has since finished and Chiefs did win 2-0 against the Limbosch.
It's happy. We're busy talking about swallowing.
Okay. And then anyone else that you think the board should resign? Not Royal AM or something. I don't know.
But also, like, that's like...
Chippa,
like,
United.
It's like... Mm. It's like the owner of... Vodka Demo Studios Cosmos? Saying,
you must resign.
Tepier Jomo Cosmos.
Again, same thing. See, Cosmos, Black Leopards, Golden Arrows, Huh. Damn it. All Wait, the teams,
No,
actually.
Man. But did you see what Golden Arrows did to SuperSport yesterday? How many days ago?
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Yes.
Oh, poor Tippy.
Let's Marco, just do the show live Marco, from now on.
Marco, stop dribbling Tippy, please. But how many nutmegs has she received
now? Oh, wow. Okay.
No, 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 no.
Len Rubiales. Len Rubiales.
No, 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 no. That was taken out of context. But anyway. But am I also going to resign?
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
Let's compose ourselves, please.
Okay, cool. Back to the football.
Usa.
Look, I mean, a lot of the teams obviously are owned by people who
just crying.
Guys, but I need to concentrate.
Okay, let's finish
okay,
those
guys,
points.
We need to
let's
get finish this those done, points.
Okay,
guys.
So,
I'm still
so almost
I'm
every team in the PSL
now.
Except for Orlando Pirates and Sundowns.
No, we have solid teams.
To resign.
That's what I'm saying. Is that what you're saying?
No.
You're
really.
Saying
we have solid
AmaZulu,
teams out
you're saying Golden Arrows, you're saying Royal AM, you're saying Chippa United, you're saying Chiefs.
SuperSport is strong. Cape Town City is strong. Stellenbosch is strong.
Cape Town City lost four games. Yeah, in
no, Mara, man, we're talking management,
but management
guys.
Is fine.
We're talking management.
Yeah.
And no, we have solid teams.
No,
Polokwane is solid.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got some solid teams.
And what about Swallows?
Swallows is strong.
No,
they, no, they won 3-1 on Wednesday when they were playing. Are you with us?
But they were playing Cape Town Spurs, who can't buy a win for love or money or anything.
Yeah, but I mean, but technically when we talk about it, I mean, think about it, guys. I think administratively, South African football, to us, because we are used to or we expect in top-class football and top-class administration, we are not bad. You know, there are people that get awarded like Pakapakata Adidas, but a well-done man of the match, you know?
Yeah, true.
So, like,
but
you know, we
Zimbabwe
are leaps and bounds. Why
I saw a man of the match being awarded a bag of maize meal.
Me.
Okay, guys.
And we're not laughing.
It's not a laughing matter. It's a reality.
None of the boards must resign. Maybe
but
one
it's
or two.
Bab, though. I won't lie.
Yeah.
Okay, where we're jetting off to now. But even if we even stay in Africa, we have to jet off to Dubai first because there's no direct flights. But anyway.
Yes, my darling. Speaking of Dubai or just the UAE. So the next Super Cup, CAF Super Cup is going to take place in Saudi Arabia.
How bizarre
is
that?
They want everything, eh?
No, but like, jeez, man.
Like.
It's a CAF. Kef,
it's
Kef.
It's Confederation. Like, bring it to South Africa.
Confederation. But I think that's when, guys,
what
and that's when. But my thing also, may I just say something? The thing about, and we saw this during the World Cup, how when we saw for Morocco get to the final stages and it was a win for Morocco and not for Africa type of situation. And I think we're starting to see that also now because I believe it is going to be Al Ahly versus, please just double check for me, but it's going to be North African countries that are going to be taking part in the Super Cup. And
so
it starts to become that thing now. Sekari, there's a regional thing that's happening and it's as though North African countries do not want to associate themselves with us. But so, I mean, that's just me.
Okay, let me go on my usual rant.
Go, darling.
This rant from Len is brought to you
by
Betway. Stay onside. Don't be offside. Stay onside with Len's rant.
So here's the thing. Right. That degree of separation has always been there where you find a lot of the North African teams finding themselves or looking at themselves as less African than the rest of Africa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. We saw it in the World Cup. We were saying, hey, a win for Africa. It's like, no, this is a week for the Arabs. And in all fairness, it's fine. They should keep it like that. If that's how they identify themselves.
Yeah.
The sad thing about it, however, is you have a competition called the CAF, Confederation of African Football. Keyword, African football. Yet the game is going to be played in Saudi Arabia. What sense does that make? Is it a case of tomorrow we're going to find a UEFA Champions League final playing in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're already talking about that.
I've got the word for
and
it.
And also, how is it it's that bullshit. Africans are not able to celebrate their own African football, by the way, if it's still considered CAF?
Well, the very same Morocco, the very same Egypt and Tunisia and Algeria are going to be playing in the Confederation of African Football, Africa Cup of Nations, Africa Cup of Nations.
Well, yeah, from no, a, it does not make sense.
So from an from an infrastructure standpoint, this is something we discussed a few weeks ago.
Mm.
This will benefit, and I'm not saying it's right and it makes sense. I think fundamentally from its core values, it's wrong. But it will benefit South African teams who are playing in that competition to travel to Saudi instead of deep within Cameroon, where it's a 3-hour bus ride to wherever they're going to go, or 4-hour bus ride or 5-hour bus ride. Whereas if they travel to Saudi to play the games there, the facilities will be better. It'll be a more comfortable trip. There'll be more direct flights. They won't have to catch a flight and then a flight back and a flight back.
Yeah,
and then
but Marshall, that means it's only two teams that just might even get there.
Are you not talking about the Super League? Or
Super League, not CAF Champions League.
I think in essence, what Marco is referring to, if we had a situation whereby SuperSport United wins the
Confed.
The Confed. Sundowns or Pirates win the CAF. Champions League.
You're confused, but yeah.
I love football. Is it a case of now both teams are going to leave South Africa to go,
also
to the way to Saudi Arabia?
Yeah,
to
now I'm starting to wonder what Patrice is doing there now. As the president of CAF, how do you allow such nonsense to happen under your watch?
I think also there's...
What are we saying about ourselves as Africans?
Yes.
But sometimes.
Well, but not money. Remember, you might have money and be a billionaire, you know, according to our standards. But remember, there's always a bigger boss. You know, when you play a game, there's always a bigger boss. And I think the bigger bosses are the ones that would then dictate exactly how things go. By the way, you being president does not necessarily mean that you run the whole show.
No, for sure. But I think, and this is my conspiracy theory, right?
Yeah.
I think Patrice is working on eggshells with this presidency. Mm. You know, there's a whole lot of decisions that I think he's not making because I think he's eyeing a bigger picture of eventually become the FIFA president. So in order for you to do that, you need to please a lot of people along the way.
You must kiss a few frogs, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a saying, he who pays the piper picks the tune.
Yeah.
So Saudi vying for a World Cup hosting right in one of these good years that are coming. Patrice is likely having a chat with one or two sheiks there, one of the two.
Insane.
You know,
I can give you
like,
a
yo,
vote.
Guys, listen. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna bring football and like, cause I mean, what Saudi Arabia now is doing looks like they're trying to make football fashionable in that country.
Mm.
They're trying to bring interest for football in that country.
Make many football sports. A culture.
Well, many sports. Yeah. They want to own
specifically football
in general,
at the moment. Yeah,
sports
yeah.
Washing. I think what the Saudis are doing are like, yo, dude, listen. At some point, you probably wanna be like FIFA president, right? So help us, will help you. You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like, politics.
Yeah, I think it's politics and he's aligning himself. And when you do that, you're going to miss all these small things. Like, okay, you're going to take the CAF Super Cup to Saudi because you're looking at a bigger picture
foresight.
For yourself. But it does not make sense for Africans to be playing in Saudi for an African competition.
But also to go against my rant as well. Look, logistically, it makes sense.
Nah, man.
No,
let me tell you why. Because the two teams that are playing are North African teams. It's just, they're there.
No, yeah. Then they can play them play in Egypt.
Yes, and even
but
so.
But then it's so disadvantage to...
The rest of us. What happens
not
if...
the rest of us. The opposition of whoever Al-Akhli is going to be playing. I just can't remember who they play.
USM Alga.
They are playing Alga, yes.
Alga, yes.
Yeah.
From Algeria.
From Algeria.
What? Do you take the game to Tunisia or Morocco?
Either or. No, you can't take it to Morocco. You can take it to Morocco. Oh, it's Egypt.
Egypt and Algeria.
And Algeria. You can take it to Tunisia, you can take it to Morocco if you want to take it to an Arab country. Arab country.
If you want to take it to Africa.
No, well, my thing is this. They are setting a precedent and before you know it, it's going to be a norm. And that's not something we want. When are we going to get to a point where the focus is on Southern Africa or West Africa, you know, and the like? Because it seems as though everything is just going towards that direction. Everything just keeps on going further up, you know. And number one, Marco just mentioned that it's a great opportunity because if it happens that one of our teams might be part of this at some point, I mean, how often is that going to happen? And even so, if that does happen, hey, yeah, I can see you. But we only have one or two teams right now that potentially have the ability to even get there. You know, and even so, wouldn't you want that to be happening at your at our shores?
Yeah, what's next? Champions League final, CAF Champions League final, going to
everything,
Saudi.
Everything is up there. Remember, all we're doing is just they're just marketing themselves as a football nation, and we are not getting anything.
Guys,
the last thing we had that was huge in South Africa was the World Cup.
The piper paste, yeah, the piper and the tune. It just happens.
Okay,
it's a money game. It's.
Yeah, no,
it's
yeah, I'm not happy about it.
And it's not like we are doing anything about it. It's not like we are saying anything about it. I mean, a whole Patrice who is South African.
Are you going to boycott?
You know, who? Are you going to come with me?
I don't have a black card.
Exactly. Why, Bon?
Anyway.
Okay, Marco? So we've missed 3-4 flights here anyway. Is there anywhere else we're going to be?
Look, let's just leave it at that because I think I want us to just talk about just, you know, South African. Oh, no, actually, a big shout out to one person, Ngezana. Yes, he's left a big market, Kaiser Chiefs. He's playing in Turkey right now. And for the first time he got to play, he was part of, no, it was not starting 11. I think he got in the 70th or 77th minute. But he came in there and, you know, he
made an appearance
played, so
for his club.
Well done to him.
Hey, oh, yeah. And welcome to him. And another big ups. While we still on worldwide.
Yes.
Big ups to Pito Musimane. His team in Qatar managed to beat Frank de Boer's team. And Frank de Boer was complaining. I was like, yo, dude, that's Africa's finest.
Shout out once again to Mr. Musimane.
Big ups to Coach Jingles.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
we move.
Guys, shall we move on to our picks?
I think
for this weekend.
I think so.
Let's do
okay,
that.
Let's watch my picks now. It's that time again where we do our Betway picks with you using the Betway app. I have traveled over to Italy for my picks and big games happening in Serie A at the moment. And I've been singing the praises of the big Serie A sides. I'm going to go for an AC Milan away win at Roma. I just love the way AC Milan are playing lately. Inter Milan, big favorites at home to Fiorentina. Tell you what, I see a draw in that one. Bit of a Fiorentina upset in a way, if you can call a draw an upset, because they're playing great football. And then we're traveling all the way to Empoli, where Juventus are going to win that one. They are big favorites. I see them winning it. And those are my Betway picks on the Betway app. Get way more. So, guys, we've just seen my picks. Shall we start off AC Milan versus AS Roma? I said Milan going to win it. It should be tight. They're traveling to Roma. I think AC Milan have been absolutely dominant how they've started the Serie A season. Giroud scoring goals. We've seen American leave Chelsea and he goes to Italy and he seems to do well. And just overall, AC Milan playing good football.
How ironic is what Marco's doing?
What?
Like he's sitting here with an entire AS Roma jersey, but he's betting against them.
Yeah, but guys,
he's not betting with his heart.
Francesco Totti's not at Roma anymore.
Yeah. Well, they've got Lukaku.
Exactly. I was about to say, but what, weren't the introduction of, I mean, 2 days ago, he was introduced.
As a Roma player.
Yes. So won't that then
might help a little bit?
Yeah.
But against AC Milan, who are playing the way they're playing. I fancy AC Milan.
All right, cool.
I also said this is the most contentious one, maybe Inter Milan to draw with Fiorentina at home. Inter Milan big favourites for the game, but I think Fiorentina playing great football at the moment.
No, okay. They are playing great football, but look, I think Inter knows how to close off games. I mean, they were one of the tougher teams last season. I hear your pick, but I would have gone with Inter. Win straight.
And also, they've not suffered the loss of Onana as terribly as you'd might think because of Jan Sommer coming
conceded.
In from Bayern Munich. He's been a great addition to that Inter side.
So that's why I'm leaning more towards, I think, a straight Inter win. But hey, man, that's your bet.
These are my bets.
That's your bet.
So, hey, you're going to make money.
Yeah, and speaking of Serie A, man, the top four teams right now are just sitting neck to neck. Hey, winning, no losses. You know, really good stats. So it's going to be a quite. It's going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, it's not many games in yet.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It is tight up top there in terms of AC Milan, Inter, Fiorentina. Juventus, okay, they're not on 6 points like everyone else. They're on 4, I believe.
They are on 4, yeah.
Yeah. But they're all playing good football. And Paul Pogba's back in the fold, and that's why I fancy Juventus to win on Sunday against Empoli away from home.
The spell has been lifted. He's not bewitched.
The Paul Pogba.
Yes.
As you say that.
Goes wrong.
As you say that.
He went to see Gogban Ban.
So anyway, those were my picks. Len, shall we move on to yours?
Back again with my Betway picks for the weekend. So I'm going to start it off in the Premier League. Arsenal versus Manchester United. Arsenal for the win, definitely. Another game in the Premier League that I went for is Manchester City up against Fulham. That one, I mean, no, it does not even need a scientist. Manchester United, Manchester City rather for the win. And then coming back home in the MTN 8, well, that one is Mamelodi Sundowns taking on Kaizer Chiefs. I don't have to say it. You can see it. So those are my picks for the weekend.
Okay, Len, first of all, you said Man City will beat Fulham.
Oh, no, definitely. Come on. It's a straight one. Yes, Fulham might have done better in the Carabao Cup during the week. But this is Man City that we're talking about. It's a runaway train.
Hey, when your star player is Andreas Pereira.
Versus when your star player is what? How many star players?
How many star players?
11 star players.
Yeah.
So straight up, straight win for Man City against Fulham.
Any arguments?
Nope.
No arguments there.
Nope.
There was never going to be one from Man
City. I knew it.
I can almost guarantee you there.
I forget your other picks.
Arsenal versus Manchester United.
This is why I forgot your other picks.
Yeah. Difficult one. Both teams, shaky starts. A draw, a win, and a win, a loss, and I had to make it difficult for me to win.
Win.
Look, if I said Arsenal's going to win, mainly because they're playing at home. Yes, they might have made it difficult while playing at home this past weekend. But against Manchester United, I think they will show up. I think Arteta has sort of like, he saw his shortcomings and he will sort those out. And
okay, obviously you did say Sundown's going to win. So
yeah, they are
not arguing anymore.
Yeah, like
I really didn't even argue with the Arsenal against Manchester United. So what am I arguing with them for?
Yeah, 7 wins on the trot so far. They haven't lost a game in all competitions this season. I mean, like we might as well even just give them all the cubs that are on.
Orlando Pirates is playing well. Also Orlando true. Pirates is gonna challenge Sundowns for the league. So don't.
But we're talking MCN 8 against Chiefs, and my Betway pick, as the ballers have seen, is at Sundowns, straight win. There's no arguments there.
Okay, so now let's look at Super Sub's picks, seeing as you're interrupting.
What's up, bolos? This is your Super Sub, and these are my Betway picks for the weekend. The first one, it's Brighton versus Newcastle. I went for Newcastle win there for obvious reason. I think Eddie Howe needs to get back to winning ways. And then the second one is Liverpool, Aston Villa. I went for Aston Villa for a win. I think Unai is on a good run and I think it's going to cause an upset. And the last one, Crystal Palace versus Wolves. I went for Crystal Palace for a win there. Easy for me. I think Crystal Palace at home, we saw them, what they did to Arsenal. They should have won in that game, but yeah, they were unlucky. But I think in this game, they're going to take it.
Okay, we've seen your picks. Hey, Newcastle win.
Yeah.
After two losses.
After two losses, you want to get back to that winning streak. I think Eddie will have to work out. And we saw Brighton struggles at home. We've seen.
How do you think he's going to win?
What do you mean?
Never mind.
Oh, wow.
It's okay.
This guy.
Newcastle, good side. They are favorites for the results, so it's not everyone that disagrees with you. Super Sub, the bookies make Newcastle a slight favorite to win the game. Brighton also have a good opportunity to bounce back. I'm glad that I'm not betting my money on that game because I'm going to avoid it. I'm going to rather pick easier results than that one because that's the one to avoid. So I'm glad you picked it instead of me. Waste your money. I would, for me, ballers, I wouldn't bet on that game. It's just, it could go either way.
Oh, look, if I had picked that game, I would have gone for both teams to score.
Okay.
That's more a good
than, and that's another option.
That's more a good than call, rather going than going for a straight win for Newcastle. Result.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. Ballers can either go with your advice. We know, like, my predictions and my picks.
You just throw money away.
Have been worse than Cape Town Spurs, but anyway.
So the one that I agreed with you completely there, you said Crystal Palace to beat Wolves at home.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Crystal Palace, that
Wolves played one good game so far this season against Manchester United, where they should have got the result, but they didn't and they lost.
Yeah.
And I think Nunes was the standout player.
Yes, he was.
And we'll find out later today whether or not he gets his move to Manchester City or not.
Yeah.
So for me, Wolves, no man's land, no points in Crystal Palace. All the points are going to stay in London.
If I played that game, I would have gone for a draw. That's just me.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Luckily, those are my picks.
Yeah, luckily.
You are betting your way.
Yeah.
That's actually
okay.
Dope.
And then Aston Villa traveling to Liverpool. Now, this is the one where we all our eyes are a little bit open with what you called there. You said Aston Villa going to win.
Yeah.
Hey, you like big odds.
I like big odds because big odds have got good
big
returns.
Big winnings. There we go.
Okay, so no Van Dijk.
Yes.
No Van Dijk, obviously.
Mm.
And we've seen how Aston Villa have been playing, you know. Mm-hmm. I think their confidence is up there. And I think at this moment in time, they can just take on any team. So that's why I'm like, Liverpool, they can cause an upset.
I agree. They can cause an upset. And this might be the result out of this weekend's fixtures that will be the hardest one to call or to have seen coming. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I fancy Liverpool to win it at home. They are a different animal at Anfield. So I'm not putting my money on these fixtures. You chose horrible ones. But if I were betting on that fixture, I would have gone for the Liverpool win. Tepi, you had some picks for us as well.
Hello, everyone. Tepi Worldwide here. And I am giving you my picks brought to you by Betway. So we are going to be focusing on Empton 8 happening this weekend. The very first match is going to be Stellenbosch. They are going to be hosting Orlando Pirates. And yes, as much as Staley's is going to have home advantage when it comes to where the match is going to be happening, I still do believe that Orlando Pirates is going to win this one. So I'm saying it is going to be a 2-0 win for Orlando Pirates. Another one is going to be the Pafeni boys. They are going to be hosting Mamelodi Sundowns, Khonala eJozi. So I think that Kaizer Chiefs is going to win this one. So in conclusion, I believe that we are going to go straight into a final, MTN 8 final, and it's going to be a Soweto derby. Orlando Pirates winning and Kaizer Chiefs winning this one.
You picked the two MTN 8 games.
Yes.
You said Pirates to win. We don't sort of disagree there. I think Pirates will win.
Ish, Stellenbosch is not an easy side.
Oh, they never have been an easy side. They,
look, Chiefs beat them during
Chiefs
the week.
Chiefs beat them
granted.
On Wednesday. They sort of not free-flowing football in the same way we've seen earlier in the season.
Yeah.
They seem to do better on the smaller pitches. They're going to be playing on the bigger pitch.
And it's
so
it's,
do they have
it's,
stage fright?
What do you call it? And I think it's two losses on the trot because they were nibbled by SuperSport United.
Yes,
well.
They were.
Yeah.
And they got nibbled obviously by Chiefs now.
And Pirates have been good.
Granted. The same Pirates lost against Staley's, remember, in the opening
fixture.
The very
first match, yes. But we already know what happened there because of the pitch and etc. But we've seen Pirates really grow from strength to strength. And the other thing about Pirates is that they're not only focused on MTN 8 and also the domestic cup, but they're also busy there with CAF Champions League. And mind you guys, they're also doing well there. So we need to give them a big shout out.
Yeah,
a shout
out to a lot of Pirates. Yeah,
there
well
we
done.
Go. Yeah. And once again, I wonder if Rivera is able to just do the right thing and keep Lipasa there. A shout out to Masanga Anye. We see exactly why he's at Orlando Pirates.
Yeah, I know.
A big shout out to him. And also just everyone. I think that they
what
are playing
baller,
excellent.
Hey,
oh, Masanga. Yeah.
So we generally
so
agree
shout out to
on
them.
This one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
so
very, yeah.
Where we don't agree is you fancy Chiefs to upset the Downs.
You know, I'm a Khosi Mahle. Okay. I'm seeing some change in Kaizer Chiefs. I think they had to listen to what the supporters and everyone else in the country was saying. And they've really heeded the call. They still are still, you know, they still have a couple of changes and some improvements to make. But I think Musenzeki is listening and they might surprise us. Given that this 2 days ago, they were able to win a match. And again, you know, the past weekend. So
that we means... We got there. We got there.
That means the guys are doing something great. So shout out to Kaizer Chiefs and they're going to win.
Hey, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Onside ZA. Is there anything else we want to close off with?
Coach Hugo Bruce. Speaking of Chiefs, actually, just in my parting shot. He said something very interesting. He's like, I did not choose any Kaizer Chiefs players because, like, the state of Kaizer Chiefs right now does not... It's not my cup of tea.
Is he saying they're cows?
Sounds personal.
Not. He didn't use the word. He just said, Chiefs players currently are not good enough and none of them are good enough to get into my 23.
Because
obviously we are playing against Namibia and DRC in...
on the 9th and
now
the
in
12th.
The FIFA international break.
Yes.
Also, obviously using that window to get ready because we're playing Benin. Later on in the year in the other FIFA break as that's one of the World Cup qualifiers because in our group with the exception of Nigeria is in our group if I'm mistaken, right? Nigeria is in our group.
But you're going there. Talk about what Hugo Bros was saying.
Oh, sorry. He said Kaizer Chiefs players are not good enough to get in the starting into his 23-man squad.
What do you say?
What are your thoughts?
He's right.
Okay. But let me ask you a question, eh? Do you think if Msimango was still at TS Galaxy would have been good enough?
And excellent defender.
And I think that he's actually on my list of things to discuss here. Msimango, we were talking about a lack of leaders in the Chiefs squad last week.
Yes.
Msimango is screaming and shouting in the back line there like you can't believe. Very vocal, very active. He's leading that back line like you can't believe. So he is showing himself to be a leader.
And he was in the squad when he was at TS Galaxy, wasn't it?
Yes, he was. Along with Pule Mori.
3 games now is not good enough.
Hey man, who do you take out in the Bafana team that
I'm
was
not
announced?
Saying take out anyone. Hey, I'm just saying you can't say
that.
But
it must be a case of, okay, he's good enough, ne? Who then? Do you replace?
But
and
it looks
put him
as though.
Team?
But even so, I think Hugo Bros has really selected popular boys from popular teams. Yes, they are talented, but I mean, when you look at, for example, your defenders, Mobi from Sekukune, that's an exception. But we have Munyane, Innocent, we have CBC, All Around the Pirates, Golu Super Sports, Oprimu Diba, Kekanamu, Mvala, All Sundowns. I mean, once again, Mugwena Sundowns, we're talking midfielders, Leroux, okay, that's the one exception. Once again, Mabusi Opas, Mamelodi Sundowns, Langerman, Super Sports United. I mean, do we only have 3-4 teams in this country?
Guys, where's Val Foster? Is he in the squad?
He is in the squad, yes. He's part of the strikers.
He is, yeah.
My question is, right? You are arguing that it seems like players for the national team for these upcoming friendlies were like, it's like the boys club. Like, it's like, we only take players from Pirates and Sundowns.
I mean, that's what it's looking like. And I mean, look, I'm not taking away from them being precisely.
And
it's not
because
me
and Super Sub are wearing Pirates and Sundowns jerseys that, no, it's that we defending
them. We're not confused because we're wearing a Pirates.
Hey, man.
That's another story.
I'm a South African football fan.
Mm.
Those are the two teams that are performing. And again, I'm going to go to Super Sub with the defenders that you read out.
Who do you replace?
Replace, take out one.
Look, I mean, look at a player like Maela. He hasn't been playing for Orlando Pirates, but he's selected there. On what merit? Because he believes in him, right?
That's what Hugo Bruce does.
Yeah.
If he believes in you,
if you believed
in
Msimango, you can't now say
because
he plays for Chiefs,
there we go.
He's not good enough. What I'm saying. I'm saying he can't have lost form in 3 games.
Mm. Why is 3-5?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, 6.
You know what?
Mm.
I'm that saying. Bombshell. Ladies and gentlemen, ballers, Len Moleko, Tsepi Worldwide, Super Sub. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Onside ZA. Don't be offside. Be onside with us and Betway, where you get way more. Stay tuned with us throughout the month of September. Yes, today is the 1st of September, and there's a lot of exciting changes coming your way here on Onside ZA. We've got exciting social media changes. We've got studio changes. We're going upgrading the studio. We've got giveaways coming up in September, so stay tuned for those. Len.
Parting shots, sorry. I know I've been having too many shots. Big ups to the Springboks. Totally demolishing the All Blacks.
And oh, I was wrong.
So, you know, when Betway got your back, you're destined for the stars, baby.
That's good. For sure.
I can't believe my outro gets interrupted for a friendly win. For a friendly win.
Against All Blacks, nothing is friendly between those two countries. Nothing. Yeah,
okay, yes. Counts. Well done, Springboks. Well done, Betway. And well done to all of you. This has been Onside ZA. Stay onside, not offside. Powered by Betway. Get way more. We're out. Whistle. Yeah, baby.